I'd like to ask you all a question today. One I want you to consider extremely carefully. And it's a very simple question, but it is a vital question. And it's this: who are you following? And I have that I can put this. Can you put this on, Stephen? Very simple question. Who are you following? It's a big question because everyone follows something, either knowingly or unknowingly. Now, to follow somebody is a term that I think today maybe has lost a little bit of its potency. Because when we say we follow someone today, we tend to mean something different to what this used to mean. Social media has kind of changed the way we use this term. You know, when social media began, way back in the day, you'd connect with somebody as just your friend. Or if that person that you were trying to connect with was famous, you were a fan of that person. Then in 2006, Twitter, followed by Instagram in 2010, started using a term that seems to have caught on rather a lot: followers. They may not have been the first people to use it, but this is when the term followers became popular. And it's changed how we see the word follow. You know, I remember when I very first joined Twitter, when it was a brand new thing. I hadn't really come across the term before. And when you sign up, you get connected with a few popular accounts, either celebrities or different organizations. And I still remember, I'd just signed up to Twitter, and I got an email saying, "Number 10 Downing Street has started following you." And I remember thinking, "What? Downing Street are doing what? Are they watching me right now? Is somebody from Downing Street outside the house with some binoculars? What is going on?" Because I've never heard the term follow in that context before. But that was, of course, many, many, many years ago. And the meaning we attach to words change over time. So now when you say you follow someone, it means actually you're connected to them on social media. You get to see the things that person puts on. And as a result of it, those people who have lots of followers find themselves some kind of celebrity almost. They call them influencers. It's a very strange thing, but it's unfortunately had this consequence of changing the word follow. And it means it's lost its significance along the way. See, to follow somebody now, it seems like a really passive activity. Not something that really requires anything from you other than hitting like on something every now and again. The person whose post you follow on Instagram might influence you, but you aren't really following them. Not really. Real following is not a passive activity at all. But everybody follows something. What or who are you following? It's a term that Jesus would actually use often. Jesus would say to people he came across, he gave out this call. Matthew 9, verse 9, he says this: "As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Can you put that on for me, Stephen? As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose, and he followed him. From that day on, Matthew's life would never be the same. He was a tax collector who became a follower for the rest of his life. He became a disciple. Jesus said follow, so he rose up, he got up, and he followed. He didn't just subscribe, his life changed. See, that's the thing, responding to the call, follow me, it changes everything in your life. Jesus, when he called his disciples, Peter, John, James, and Andrew, he said the same thing. This is Matthew 4, verse 19. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, follow me, and something's going to change in your life. And for the rest of their lives, that's what they did. They followed him, and they made men, and they caught them for Jesus. They left behind everything that they knew, and they trusted Jesus with their lives. Everything changes when you respond to the call, follow. They went places, they performed feats they never would have thought possible before. When someone came to Jesus to ask this important question, how do I get to heaven? Which, by the way, is the most important question you could ever ask Jesus. The first thing he does is he challenges that person who's rich about selling everything he owns. In other words, he's saying to that person, what are you so attached to? But then Jesus doesn't stop there. He says this in Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Again, the call to this man was follow Jesus. It's not just get rid of the stuff in your life that's in the way, but move, follow. When Jesus is talking about himself as the good shepherd, he describes his sheep very specifically. John 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Those who Jesus calls his own, they hear his voice, and they follow him. Right throughout the teaching of Jesus, the call comes, follow him. The call of Jesus comes to those who come to him, those people who come to him, who want to know him, who are seeking for heaven. It's the same call. Follow him. That brings me back to that big question again. Who do you follow? And Jesus does not mean whose Twitter posts are you looking at. He doesn't mean anything as passive as that. Following is not a part-time pursuit. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Because if the key to heaven, if the key to being one of his sheep, one of his people, if the key to that is follow him, then it strikes me as extremely important that we know what it means to follow him. So, the word Jesus uses in the Greek for follow is this word. It's going to appear there. I can't pronounce it right, but I'm sure you can read it better than I can pronounce it. Akathulio. Akathulio. And what it means is to accompany, to attend to walk with. To follow Jesus is not just to believe that he exists. It isn't just to understand what Jesus taught or even to appreciate and be thankful that he died for us. That's not what following is. You see, you can be very, very thankful to Jesus for dying for you without ever becoming a follower. See, Christianity is not about just responding to Jesus, but following Jesus, being his disciple. See, the call to follow, Jesus sent that out to many people, but it's the ones who got up and followed him that were the ones whose lives were changed forever. To follow Jesus is to journey with Jesus. Ancient disciples would accompany their masters. That's what they did. They'd walk with them. They'd learn with them, they'd learn from them. You could only do that by being close to them, by observing them, by seeing how they live their life. You can't follow somebody by just checking in with them once a week if it's convenient, or every now and again talking to them without giving them a second thought the rest of the time. It doesn't work. There would also be very little point in learning what your master taught without living what was taught. Becoming more and more and more like the master. See, that's the problem we often run into. We have plenty of knowledge. But that knowledge doesn't actually change us or affect our our lives. When did Christianity become more about knowledge than obedience? If it's just knowledge, I can tell you this morning, you have missed the point. Jesus was very clear about that. He told his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, "Anyone who hears these words of mine but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Following is learning combined with obedience. There is no such thing as passive or cultural Christianity. Not really. You can't be an observer on the sidelines, because that's not following. That's spectating. And unfortunately, church has way too many spectators when it should have followers. Spectating is not real Christianity. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he's not asking you to just attend a meeting once a week or to read your Bible. Because attending church and reading your Bible alone are not following. What he's asked us to do is to journey with him, to do life with him, to follow his example, to learn to be like him more and more and more. It's to do the things he would do, to live the way he lived, to have his priorities become our priorities. The Christian journey of life is a journey of walking with Jesus, to do life his way instead of our way. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, described himself in those very terms. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says this: "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." See, Paul did not claim to be anything other than a follower. Someone who spent their life imitating, journeying with, and walking with Jesus. You may sometimes hear people say today, "You are either a follower or a leader." Crazy thing is, Paul, one of the greatest church leaders ever, knew that to be a leader, you must be a follower. Because when you're a follower, you are leading by example. Everything begins and ends with following Jesus. Now, you might very well be watching this morning and you don't get that. You don't see why you need Jesus in your life, let alone why you need to follow him. Maybe Jesus does not get a second thought in your day-to-day life. Maybe you believe and you think that's enough. You know, you believe he exists, that makes you a Christian. Maybe you're watching this morning and you feel absolutely stuck on the path in life that you're in right now. You feel like there's no way out of it. Let me tell you, Jesus has the same call to you today. All of you, come and follow me. I want you to understand today, not only is Jesus asking for you to follow him today, but following Jesus is the only way to turn around those problems in your life. The only way. Following Jesus is the only way for your life to turn around. The only way to find true contentment in life. And following Jesus is the only way to heaven. Every one of us needs Jesus. Because we all have exactly the same problem. All of us. Me. You. You. And you. We all have it. Instead of following him, we've gone our own way in life. And the problem with going our own way in life is it leads to this. Things get messed up. Because our way never works out right. We've all followed ourselves. That's the biggest problem mankind has. Isn't that we're following somebody else. It's that we're following ourselves. The Bible tells us each of us have gone astray. We've all distanced ourselves from God. Romans 3, verse 23, it says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is true of every person. Every one of us has gone down the road of following our own desires, their own impulses. Everyone has gone and followed down their own path. But the problem is when we follow ourselves, there's no saying where we can end up. When we make the wrong choices in life, we find our life begins to get off track. And sometimes that leads to some very obviously dangerous places. But let me tell you, sometimes those dangers might be less obvious, might be hidden, but they are no less real. Just because you can't see the danger you're in life, just because things feel like they're going well, does not mean you're not in danger. Because when we end up following our own path in life, it leads to one place. Us being distant from our Creator. Us being distant and cut off from God. And let me tell you, being cut off from God, being cut off from your Creator, is the most dangerous place you could ever be in life. Because a life cut off from God, leads to an eternity cut off from God. Of course it does. In fact, I'd say it's nonsensical to think otherwise. It's a natural progression of running away from God is that one day you will succeed. All of the things in life that we think will fulfill us, all of the things in life that we think are going to fill that hole in our lives, all of those things will come up short. We follow any fad or trend, something just to fill that hole. But let me tell you this morning, nothing can fill that hole because that hole was designed for only one thing to fit. And all of humanity is in this position. Every person has wandered. Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned. Everyone. I'm just going to pause there. Who? Everyone. It's very strange when there's no one in the room. Who has gone their own way? Everyone. Me, you, you, you. That's all the people in the room. to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have turned everyone to his way. That describes me, that describes you. That passage in Isaiah describes the problem we all have. But thank God, that passage in Isaiah also describes the solution. We are lost, but the Lord laid the iniquity of all of us on him. We are lost, but Jesus came to change it. Jesus came to deal with the separation we all have with God. He came to bridge the gap between you and heaven. Sin in our lives has consequences. You want me to simplify the word sin? Going your own way. Doing your thing instead of God's thing. And Jesus came to take the consequences of all of that upon himself. The Lord has laid the iniquity of all of us on him. He came to die in our place. And because Jesus died, you can have peace with God. You can have the relationship restored. Listen, none of us are perfect. And it would be absurd to pretend we are, that we could be. We all fail. We all lack. But the perfect one died in our place. Thank God. We don't have to be perfect. Because Jesus was perfect for us. But more than that, Jesus came to lead the way. He came and he lived a perfect life, but he also came and taught us how to live our lives. The call to follow him is to stop going our way, to stop turning to our own way, and start following his way. Start living the life he has called us to live. Jesus said, repent. That was the core of Jesus' message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And repent does not mean, oh, saying sorry. It includes that, but repent means you turn around. You were going this way. Now, you're going this way. Repent means you stop going in one direction. And you start going in the other. You see, to repent means we stop following our way and we start following his way. Repent and follow me. Actually, the same call. Jesus said, if we love him, we will obey his commandments. Peter uses that same imagery that we heard in Isaiah in his book. When you come to Jesus, your eternity changes, but so does your life. 1 Peter 2, verse 25, it says this. For you, like sheep, same imagery here, were like sheep going astray. But now, because of Jesus, now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. You see, becoming a Christian means your eternity changes in a moment. You return to the shepherd. When we're saved, when we come to Jesus, everything changes like that. But our lives then continue. And the call isn't just to be changed in that moment, to have your eternity change in that moment. The call is to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. It's a return to the sheepfold. You see, the truth is, our way never works out. Not only does it distance us from God, but it absolutely messes us up. A life that follows Him is a life in balance. A life in peace. And it's not something we just do once. It's something we choose to do every day. Woke up this morning, I had a choice to follow Jesus today. And even on the days when it's hard to do, or even on the days where it means we don't get to do something we want to do, or we have to do something we don't want to do. See, that's the important thing about following. Following is easy when you agree. It's not so easy when you don't. And that's the key to really being a follower, is when your following's tested. Let's say for a moment, you are on a car journey and you're following your sat nav. Most of the time, it's absolutely fine. It says get in lane, you get in lane. It says turn right, you turn right. No problem. It's easy to follow a sat nav when you agree with it. But when the sat nav suggests a turn you don't agree with, a way you'd rather not go, that's when your commitment to that sat nav is tested. That's when you show how much you trust it. That's when the choice between following or going your own way comes up. You see, it's easy to follow Jesus when Jesus says, love. It's easy to follow Jesus when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But what about when Jesus says, take up your cross and deny yourself? When Jesus says, honor your marriage, don't lust. Love your enemies. Well, gets a bit harder then, doesn't it? But that's the test of whether you are a follower or not. That's when you find out if you are following Jesus or whether you're just subscribing to his feed. Jesus is asking us to follow him. And to follow him all the way to the kingdom of God. Following means you go where he goes. And it results with you being where he is. 1 Peter 5:4 says this, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. What does it mean to be a Christian? That you were once baptized as a baby? That you believe in God? You once put your hand up and said a prayer? No. Jesus said, follow him. Be a follower. Follow him. And there is coming a day where we receive the crown of glory, the place prepared for us in his Father's house that will never, never fade away. Who are you following? I know who I'm following. Follow him. Because where he's going, where he is, believe me, it's where you want to be. I want to just take a moment and I want to pray with you. I want to pray specifically for those of you who are watching who, if you ask that question, who are you following? The answer is, I don't know. I just seem to be following my own way. I want to pray for you specifically this morning. I want to challenge you. The call is to you this morning. Follow Jesus. Make that choice to follow Jesus. That's not something you can do passively. Not one person in Scripture who responds to that call stayed where they were. It involves doing something. It involves getting up. It involves a change in life. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you want to follow him, if you want to give him your life, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. But listen, praying this prayer in itself does nothing. Pray this prayer. Then you get up and you follow him. Just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you came to restore me back to God. Lord, I believe you are Lord and Savior and the Son of God. And I believe you're my only way back to God. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you rose again. And that now you're calling me. Lord, I give my life to you. Forgive me my sin. Create a new heart in me. And Lord Jesus, I follow you from this day on. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, get in touch with someone. Our email address will appear on the screen. You can get in touch with us. Get in touch with the person who put you onto this. But speak to someone. And don't just let that prayer be it. Get up and start following. So that one-time decision becomes a life that will be transformed. And I tell you, when you follow Jesus, not only will you find your life on the best track, you'll find your eternity suddenly has hope. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to have another song now, and then when we come back, we're going to take communion together.